From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
A grand jury came back with a no indictment in terms of the police officers involved in the Tamir Rice shooting.
That was Cleveland Mayor Frank Jackson announcing a grand jury decision not to indict the officers involved in the 2014 police shooting death of 12-year-old Tamir Rice.
You know, this has been a long, troubling, trying year for not just the city of Cleveland, but particularly for the Rice family. And I know that they have been pushing for some closure in regards of to the criminal side of this. But with this closure, I know that the deep pain they must feel, even with the closure. So I want to say to the family, the mother in particular, that we're sorry for their loss. And we know that it's been a long process, but we do not intend to add to whatever anxiety or agony that they feel in terms of the process. We're concerned about due process. And now that the criminal side is over with, and there has been a determination in terms of the criminal side, we are now going to proceed with this administrative review of what happened, and that will come to the chief, and the chief will start immediately on that process.
Mayor Jackson was joined by Cleveland Police Chief Calvin Williams at a press conference Monday to discuss the grand jury decision.
As the mayor stated, now that the county grand jury has concluded, we start our administrative process in this matter with both the officers involved. We are going to reconvene our Critical Incident Review Committee. That committee will look at this incident from start to finish. That committee will also take a look at any and all information that's going to be provided to them by either the Cuyahoga County Sheriff's Office, the grand jury, or the county prosecutor's office in their review of this incident. Once that's completed, the results of that review will be forwarded to my office, at which time I'll take a look at that, and then we will conclude this process. Now, what that conclusion looks like, none of us know, because this committee has to conduct that investigation, that review. And I don't want to speculate on how long that's going to take. As the mayor stated, this has been a long process already, and we don't want to drag it out unnecessarily, and we won't. This committee will get to work very shortly here. They will take a look at all the evidence. They will take a look at all the testimony, everything that's been put out there so far, and they will forward a recommendation to my office. At that time, we will start our administrative process.
Their comments followed a press conference held by Cuyahoga County Prosecutor Timothy McGinty, who said the grand jury had followed his recommendation in declining to prosecute.
Based on the evidence they heard and the law as it applies to police use of deadly force, the grand jury declined to bring criminal charges against Cleveland police officers Timothy Lohman and Frank Garnbeck. That was also my recommendation and that of our office after reviewing the investigation and the law.
After issuing their statements, the mayor and the police chief took questions from the press.
Yes.
Well, I cannot comment on that until the process is finished, because that automatically, when you say that, that automatically concludes something. We're going to go through a process. And you know, Prosecutor McGinty has drawn his conclusion based on the end of his process. At the end of our process, we will have a conclusion. And that conclusion, as I said, will deal with due process for everyone involved.
You have a legal background of prosecutors, some experience in prosecutor's office. I mean, do you agree this is the appropriate outcome?
I'm not going to comment on that. You know, again, you're asking me to comment and get, because whatever I say, you're going to draw a conclusion from that as to what, and when I say that and you draw the conclusion, then it has tainted our process. I'm not going to be having those kind of conversations, just as we haven't had them in the past. We're not going to have them now. Only thing I can assure you and the public and the Rice family that this will not just be a process. This will be due process. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
Chief, the committee
Well, again, I also commented that I don't want to put a time frame on it because the committee has a lot of work to do.
It starts right away.
And that committee is made up of members of the division. We also have members of the public, of the community, that are on that committee. I can get you a full list of the committee members, but it's basically the same committee that was put together during the Brillo incident, the chase of November 29th. So we'll give you that list of people that are on it, but they have a system to go through to get through all the evidence, and they have to review that evidence, and then they have to make sure that they come to conclusions based on that evidence. And then that's presented to me, and then we go from there.
Are you pertaining to the discipline or potential discipline of the officers that were involved in the issue?
All right. There is potential discipline if there is a violation of our policies, our procedures. Yes.
Are Bowman and Garback working in some cars and districts?
Both of the officers are and will remain on restricted duty. They've been on restricted duty since this incident happened. That's part of our process, not to allow officers involved in critical incidents to go back out there into the fray. They will remain on restricted duty until we complete the administrative process.
Chief, will there be any other state positions looked at besides these two officers during this review process?
We'll look at the incident from start to finish. Anybody that was involved from our communication center to the officers themselves, to people involved afterwards, giving care, that kind of thing, we'll look at the incident from start to finish.
Well,
thank you.
Sorry, question. Is the dispatcher, Constance Hollinger, still employed?
I don't want to get this mixed up, but there's a dispatcher involved and also a call taker. And those are two separate functions, and one of those persons has resigned from the city of Cleveland.
Which one?
Again, I don't want to confuse them, so I don't want to give you that name right now. Thank you.
Yes.
Yes, Mayor. I was wondering if you have any word for the people of Cleveland who kind of might not like this decision and are inclined to express their interest in the streets through protest. And, Chief, I'm curious if you're increasing the amount of officers on the streets, you know, in the next few days.
Well, everyone has a right. Everyone has a right as part of the constitutional right of being in America and a citizen of America to express yourself in a way when you feel that you've been grieved or you disagree with something. Where your right end is when you intend to do harm to people or property. And we have taken that position in the past, and it's the same position that we have now. That people have a right to demonstrate, people have a right to protest, people have a right to have an opinion, whether I agree with it, you agree with it, or whoever agrees with it. It is their right to be who they are and to say what they want to say, even if they have agendas that are contrary to what they're talking about, right? But it's their right. Where that right stops is when they do or intend to do harm to people or property, and then that's when the chief gets involved. Chief.
Chief, there was some discovery.
Yeah, on the part two, he was asking about your point.
Yeah, just to answer your question, I mean, our posture hasn't changed when it comes to these type of situations. Our posture hasn't changed. The mayor hit the nail on the head. You know, we will respect people's rights. We will ensure people's First Amendment rights to protest and to get out there and be heard. But we will not at any time accept any property or violence in the city, period. We won't do it.
Sir.
There were some discoveries that came out in the McGinty conclusion that indicated that the police cars that the officers were in were not equipped with first aid first aid equipment and things of that mm-hmm. nature, that this particular officer was not trained, was not, you know, was let go mm-hmm. of his last job. How does someone like this wind up in a situation like this? Was he also a victim in this situation?
Well, again, that's why we convened the Critical Incident Review Committee. And again, they're going to look at the incident from start to finish, top to bottom. As you know, and we put this out about a week and a half ago, every car within the division is equipped with a first aid kit. 1,400, and I think the last count was 80 officers have been trained in first aid. I go next week myself. So that's all part of the review for the Critical Incident Review Committee.
But to your point, your first part of the question, not the second part, is that when I mentioned about soul searching and really looking at ourselves, because when you do real soul searching, real inner perspective kind of things to see what could I have done as an individual, what heck could we have done to make this outcome different? One of the things we concluded was exactly what your question is, and that is that we have some officers trained in first aid. We had officers who were not trained in first aid. Some cars were equipped, some cars were not. Now, every car is equipped with first aid kits. Not only that, they now have this particular gauze that they use to stop bleeding, and they use it in the military. It's very effective, I hear, and that we have trained. Almost every officer now has been trained in first aid, basic first aid, but also in the use of these life-saving things that we now have available. So, yes, we recognized our shortcoming in regards to that, and so we took action.
Mayor Jackson,
yes, ma'am.
Did you make a call to the Rice family and you talked with Mother Samaria Rice today since the grand jury
session? No, I have not. I have, however, over this year expressed our as a city and my personal condolence, I think about three times, once with their first set of attorneys and the second with, and I think there was another attorney that we spoke to.
You spoke to the representatives?
I spoke, right, and I offered to speak to the mother and the family, if possible, but if they were not feeling like they wanted to speak or if it wasn't the right time, I did ask them to extend our sympathy for their loss.
Is the city being sued out now?
Oh, yeah.
So it would not be, it wouldn't be most appropriate if you were to have a conversation.
If you were my lawyer, you would tell me that. But if you are a parent, I mean, you know, there's a way in which you can express what you need to express, and I think we've done that through their representatives in order to ensure what you're talking about. Yes.
Mayor and Chief, how do you think this outcome is going to impact the ongoing efforts to build and strengthen trust between the community and the police department?
That is why I keep emphasizing to you that we are working on due process, not process. One of the biggest problems that we're having, not just in Cleveland but throughout this country, is that people believe you're just going through the process and you're checking the box, and you say, I've gone through the process, and by the way, this is the conclusion. And people really don't believe that, whether it's factual or not, they really do not believe that the system is conducting itself in a way that they believe it is fair and due process. What I find that if people believe that you're doing the right thing, your intent is to do right, and that you're conducting yourself in an honest way, and you're doing due process as it's supposed to be, they know that maybe they may not agree with you, but they cannot say you didn't do the right process, due process. So that is why we work so hard, and why I cannot answer your questions? Because I would taint the due process in any way, whether I said something positive or negative. It would lead to question whether or not our process is fair. And I simply cannot do that. What I can promise the public is that we will conduct our process in a legal, honest, transparent way, and it will incorporate due process in all of the procedures as we move forward. And that's the only thing I cannot guarantee. I cannot guarantee an outcome because I don't know what that outcome is. If I did, then all I'd be doing is going through a process, checking a box, and going through that process to justify an outcome I've already reached. And we have not done that. And we're going to do this, and we're going to do it the right way. So that's my answer to the public, because the public is they don't believe that the system has been fair with them. And in many ways, and I'm not just talking about in Cleveland, I'm talking about nationwide. And there's a real legitimate sense of lack of fairness and a lack of justice on behalf of people who have been in some way harmed by the system. There's a legitimate concern there, and we don't want to be part of that. We don't want to be part of that. Anybody else before we... Oh, Layla.
I just want to ask, just to be clear, Chief, so both the call taker and the dispatcher, they have not been disciplined, nor have their roles in the incident been evaluated, analyzed. That's going to be part of the...
That's part of the Critical Incident Review Committee. And again, don't quote me because I'm not sure, but either the dispatcher or the call taker has already resigned from the city of Cleveland. So
how recent was that?
We can get you that later, but that person has already left the employee of the city. So.
Thank you very much.
After learning that the grand jury was not bringing criminal charges for the killing of 12-year-old Tamir Rice, Rice family attorney Subodh Chandra spoke with journalist Scott Taylor about the reaction of the youth's mother to the news.
Was this a big surprise to you that this decision came out?
To me, as a former federal prosecutor, watching how Prosecutor McGinty and his assistants have essentially perverted the criminal justice process and the grand jury process, it was not a surprise. I've seen this coming for months. When they first started doing strange and bizarre things that one would never do for any target of a criminal investigation. For Samaria Rice, however, even though we had tried to prepare her for this likelihood, it was nevertheless emotionally devastating. She wept for a long time. I can't say it's the hardest day of her life because that was the day she lost her son, but it's been a very, very difficult day for her.
Is it almost like losing him twice?
It really is, because it's like just having it sink in that there's no criminal justice and that the local criminal justice process is so broken and, in her words, corrupted. It is just an incredibly painful thing for her. She was still clinging to that thread of hope that somehow, despite Prosecutor McGinty's efforts to orchestrate a bogus exoneration for these officers, that somehow a miracle would occur and that she and her family and Tamir would get justice.
What do you think is wrong with this decision from the grand jury?
Well, remember that a prosecutor's behavior and engagement with a grand jury is one-sided. And despite Prosecutor McGinty's constant refrain that he's being transparent, the reality is that nothing that he did in front of that grand jury is transparent because we don't have the transcript, we weren't there, we don't get to see it. What we do know is that he took a dive on cross-examining the targets of investigation, these officers. They were permitted to take the oath, make self-serving statements. I mean, the union admitted it, their own lawyers admitted it, they took no questions. That is probably the most bizarre thing I've seen in my entire career, for a prosecutor to forego the opportunity to cross-examine people who've waived their Fifth Amendment privilege under black-letter Supreme Court law. So when you have things like that happen, it just shows you a process that is broken beyond belief, because the prosecutor doesn't care about securing justice for the victims of police crimes.
Were you surprised about the 45-minute length of their discussion after they made their announcement and putting out pieces of what they say was evidence? Were you surprised by that? Have you ever seen something like that?
Well, again, I think for a prosecutor to bend over backwards to act as defense counsel for the very people they're supposed to be investigating, I think is indicative of just how off track this process has been for a long time now. And, you know, for a prosecutor to take a dive on cross-examining the officers when they took the oath and waived their Fifth Amendment rights by doing so, for the prosecutor to go out and get nonsensical defense-oriented expert reports, these things just don't happen for any other person who's ever being investigated. So, you know, Prosecutor McGinty, I think, just simply has no sense of inner sense of justice. And certainly the Rice family believes that the process was completely corrupted by this prosecutor.
What does the Department of Justice investigation do you think, compared to what McGinty did with his investigation?
I'm sorry, I didn't follow the question.
You were asking the DOJ to come in and take a look. What do you think you get with a DOJ investigation that you don't get with the prosecutor's office here locally doing the investigation?
Well, a local prosecution is actually the best chance at justice, because there are so many statutes that fit the conduct here. The aggravated murder statute, for example, provides that all a person who fires the weapon needs to have is a purpose to kill. You don't have to have prior calculation and design where the victim is under the age of 13. Federal statutes are few and further between. They're very difficult to apply to what are generally considered local law enforcement issues. The one thing that one gets out of a federal investigation is, at least hopefully, some integrity of the investigation that's been lacking here, but one does not get the range of statutes that are available that fit the conduct.
So you think maybe naming a special prosecutor at the beginning, that your law firm and Tamir Rice's family would have been happy with?
If there had been a truly independent special prosecutor who doesn't have a record of being the best friend of the police, then at least the Rice family would have been able to say the process has some integrity. But this prosecutor, under the guise of transparency, kept selectively leaking information that seemed designed to exonerate the officers, but also to prepare the public to accept a terrible travesty of injustice. And that's what has occurred here, a terrible travesty of injustice. The prosecutor was just sort of being political and manipulating the public presentation to try to get people to accept it.
Now, Sabote, I think if Mr. McGinty was sitting here, he would say, Sabote, I put out expert reports to the public. I was transparent through every step. I said I wasn't going to step down, you know, and I was going to take this. It's my job to do. What would you say to that if he said that to you?
There is not a prosecutor in America that would give up their right to cross-examine targets of a criminal investigation who waived their Fifth Amendment rights by taking the solemn oath and testifying about what occurred. There isn't a prosecutor that would do that. This prosecutor has set a new precedent that if you're a Cleveland police officer, you will get a completely special treatment brand of justice. Now, Prosecutor McGinty is never going to have an answer for that, because no prosecutor does that. Prosecutor McGinty is never going to be able to explain why he goes out and gets these expert reports that are riddled with flaws, claims that he's going to present the Rice family's experts, which they should have never had to get, by the way, but then absolutely abused them verbally behind closed doors. They came out saying, these are people who are former cops or professional witnesses, they're used to tough cross-examinations. They said they went in there, they didn't get to present their findings, they were ripped into from the beginning, they were mistreated and verbally abused. So at some point, you know, Prosecutor McGinty, if he really wants to be transparent, he will go get a court order from the Common Pleas Court that displays all the transcripts of how both sides' experts, because it really was the prosecutor was a different side, he was the defense side, and he will present all those transcripts to the public. He'll present the officer's transcripts to the public, but he won't do that, because what he's been doing is hiding behind the grand jury secrecy rule, claiming transparency, but moving for now over 13 months in a quest to exonerate the officers.
So you think this was a done deal before the grand jury even sat down?
Well, what I do know is that we did sit down with the assistant prosecutors at some point, and we asked them, I said, look, I'm a former federal prosecutor. Tell me what position you're advocating before the grand jury. It is normal to make a recommendation to the grand jury. And those guys started acting, you know, staring at their shoes, staring at the ceiling, acting like they had no idea what I was talking about. At that point, I knew, look, the fix is in. They're hiding behind the grand jury. They're going to give a one-sided presentation to the grand jury. And sure enough, everything they've done since then has borne that out.
My last question, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us. Can you share a little bit about the conversation you had with Tamir's mom?
So it was actually very difficult to even communicate with Samaria Rice when she first learned of this news. She was so upset. She was so distraught. She was weeping as only a mother who has lost a child and then has been denied justice can weep. My heart was in my throat the entire time. And so it took a while before she could even really communicate. I mean, this was just a horrible day, because not only is her son dead, who was just playing in the park, for heaven's sake, there's no reason he had to die. There's no reason they had to fire in under 1 second without assessing the situation. There's no reason they needed to leave him bleeding and dying on the ground. And yet that occurred. And now that horrible injustice has been compounded because the local criminal justice system has been shown to not be able to work because of Prosecutor Tim McGinty and his assistants.
The unexpected holiday week announcement set off the first of a new round of protests, including one in New York. People attending the rally in New York showed their anger as they spoke.
Notice that the timing of this non-indictment was perfect, right? Because most of our comrades are not in town right now. Most of our comrades are enjoying holidays, and that's fine. But they forgot a very important thing, that the people that are still here are not gonna forget this shit. Right. And right before my tears could fucking dry from Sandra Bland and that bullshit, we got a non-indictment for Tamir Rice, a 12-year-old little boy playing with a toy gun that was killed by police in a drive-by. You can call it reasonable. You can call it justified. What it was a drive-by. Little boys play with toy guns. And if they're of a certain skin color, it is okay. But if they are not, it is not, and it is punishable by death. We are here to say F*** that.
Yeah.
F*** that.
F*** that.
Black children matter.
Black children matter.
Black lives matter.
Black lives matter.
The streets and your shopping malls are our lunch counters. This is how we're going to get justice in this civil rights movement. So we're going to shut your down and inconvenience you as long as it takes.
Yes.
Not one more.
Not one more.
Goddamn hashtag.
Right. I want to read the demands from his family that were put out today so that we remember what they're asking for, and so that as we call for everything that we need change for here in New York City, as we hold up the names of everybody, the 300-plus black people who've been murdered this year by the police, the 1,100-plus people who've been murdered by the police this year, that we make sure that we hold them special in our heart right now as they're going through a special, agonizing, egregious pain tonight. We support the family's demands. The immediate termination of Officer Lohman and Officer Garnback. A Federal Department of Justice investigation of Prosecutor Timothy McGinty and his removal as County Prosecutor. A Federal Department of Justice investigation of the shooting and murder of Tamir Rice. We ask that people go back to their organizations, back to your communities, and if you raise up those demands, and that you ask people to rally around those demands and to send support on social media, to send support on online, and to keep a lookout for the campaigns that will be coming out in the next following days.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.